I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night Bible teaching night, and I'm excited to be here, and I got a lot of work done on Zechariah 13, but I could see it's going to be a two-session teaching, so I'll have more done for next, I'll have the second part done for next Tuesday. But I've really, really been blessed by three weeks altogether for Zechariah chapter 13. So I want to say hello to everyone and see how Sister Sharon and Kathy did this morning. I had a great time this morning. So let me get over and see them in the prayer group this morning. So we have... Yeah, this is Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, hello, Chaplain John. Good evening.
How was
nice
this?
To be here.
Yes, how was this morning?
It was nice. We had all the regulars show up, and we had a very good prayer session.
Good.
So
good.
It was good.
Good. I had a real good prayer session also.
The men's prayer meeting, yeah.
Now, I'm going to put everybody to work today or during this class. Are you ready, Sister Kathy?
I got my pencil and paper ready.
All right. Well, Eugene, are you ready to do some work today?
Yes.
Good. That's what I like. And then Gigi and Randy, are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Oh, and Sister Rita just got in here on time. Hello?
Hello. Good evening, Chaplain.
I'm putting everybody to work today.
Oh, no.
Okay, now here's the work. If you can handle it, all right? This is a big wheelbarrow. Now, that's a joke. That you don't hear that much. You don't hear that at all. But back in the day, the Irish known for wheelbarrows and picks and shovels. No, that's just an inside Irish joke. Now, here's the work. We're on Zechariah chapter 13, and it's about there is a fountain for sin and uncleanness. So during the presentation tomorrow, I want to play There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. So when after I finish the teaching, I'll go on the internet, and there has to be quite a few about There Is a Fountain. So we'll listen to them, and then by consensus, we'll choose the one that I'll play tomorrow.
So, my work is already done.
Is it?
Yeah, because I want Selah. That's my favorite. But anyway, I will listen with an open ear.
Sister Sharon, are you ready for this heavy workload?
Oh, my goodness. I hope the Gaithers sing it.
Uh-oh, I see a fight.
No.
Sister Kathy, I'll tell you, Sister Sharon's going to win. If it's a head-on, Mr. Sharon
wins.
What
kind of fight is that? Why would I even pick up my shovel or my wheelbarrow?
Well, because you said Selah, and it's over. And it's over. You said it's over with Selah, so. All right.
You said Sharon wins. And she said the Gaithers.
We don't even know if I can find it with the Gaithers. Just to get you.
Do they even play it?
I don't know. We'll find out, though, when I finish.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I have a good time?
Yes,
well,
you ready? Now hold on. Yes, I want to get over to the teaching. Yes.
I'm with Kathy.
Okay, we haven't started yet. Calm down.
Thank you.
Oh, that's too funny. Now, wait. Now, Sister Rita.
I'm not able to give an opinion because I haven't heard that group or that person Alfie mentioned.
All right.
Selah?
Yes, Selah. Yeah. All right.
Thought she'd say, what's her favorite, not Guy Penrod, but the
Ernie
Haas. I figured she'd say Ernie Haas.
Yeah. All right, and we got Paula Jean here. I'm holding her. She might be the tiebreaker. All right. Okay. So today was a good day in the Lord. I did watch President Trump give posthumously the Medal of Honor there, Civilian Medal of Honor, to Charlie Kirk. It was very, very – it was a really a moving event. Did anyone here get to watch it? Sister Kathy, did you get to watch it?
No, sir.
Okay. It's a little bit long, and if you wanted just to watch one part, her part would be what you wanted to watch, you know.
Right.
Erica. Sister Sharon, did you get to watch it?
Yes, I did. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was long. Trump was up to par. He was.
Yeah. Man, he's a dynamo. I mean, I don't know where he's been, in Israel and Egypt, flying all around and everything he's doing. Yeah. And then he took today off. Well, not today off, but he spent a couple hours, I guess. And he had did you see the president of Argentina was there?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? He had a grand time. Yeah, did you see how like happy he was to be a part of it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had Sister Kathy, the entire cabinet was there. All sorts of senators and congressmen were there. It was big.
Wow. Well, let me ask you.
Her family, his family wasn't there, but her family was there.
Awesome. Did the president of Venezuela give him the Nobel Prize?
No, it wasn't the president. It was a woman.
Well, the lady, first lady, whatever.
No. She was like a, what do you call her, a rebel? She was working to try and, like, I guess, I don't know. She's working, like, because it's a terrorist state, and she's working to overthrow it, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, but I saw that it said she presented the Nobel Prize that she won to Trump, and I thought that couldn't be. Yeah. She did do that then.
Yeah. But I don't know. She did offer it. She said that she doesn't deserve it. He does. And she wants to give it to him. Now, I don't know anything more than that. But she did say that.
Okay, well, that's what I heard then. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think she should.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, that's off topic. I just needed to ask.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. All right. So let's get, let me open with a word of prayer. And then get into the teaching tonight, which I'm really, really looking forward to. So, Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, that we're in your prophetic word. We're in Zechariah chapter 13. It'll be verse 1 tonight. I ask for a great blessing. Lord, this is a little detailed. The first part, I don't think, is. I'm going into detail with it, but I don't think it's overwhelming with the others. Material I'm bringing together in the second part. But I ask that everybody's blessed, that our faith is built. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we ask for everyone's faith to be built. And whatever I do, Lord, is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us from Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this is really important, I guess you would say, doctrine. And I want to go real slow and make sure everybody is absorbing it. I don't think there'll be any problem tonight. Next week, when I'm tying like three different things together all at the same time, that might be... I know it will be more difficult. We'll go real slow because I want everybody to absorb this. Now, this part here, the overall teaching is the branch of David, the stone, and the rock. The branch, the Messiah, the branch, and the rock. And that's where everything gets tied together. But today, it's going to be, Zechariah 13:1, about there is a fountain going to be opened on the day of the Lord for sin and uncleanness. So I want to cover, and I want to go through that in detail. And let me, well, just in case there's some, let me get everybody muzzled here. Now, a lot of this teaching here that I did, I learned from tangling with the Jews. And I ended up calling my ministry the Branch of David. But what I found out about it was they pled ignorance. There was no way out from this teaching. There's absolutely no way out. But they would plead ignorance. And all, and so it was a very effective because there was all sorts of people listening, and they would grasp what I was teaching there and debating them with. So I was very happy with it. But that didn't really crush them, I'm going to say. What did crush them was Ezekiel 43:7, with the God of Israel sitting on the throne of David. That was the end. But this brought back a lot of memories when I was putting it together today and thinking about it. So we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. And there's a fountain opened, and everything is revolving around this fountain that's going to be opened. All right, Zechariah 13, 1. It is critically important to realize that this verse is directly connected to chapter 12, verses 19 through 14. So it's a continuum. Now remember, the chapters are made up. There's nothing wrong with chapter and verse, but they're made up. It's really one just continual, like, scroll. So don't let that hinder you that, well, it's like a new chapter, it's a new thought. No. It's all a continuation, and you'll see that. So I'm gonna go back to chapter 12 and start at verse 9 and bring in other scriptures. So let's take a look at it. Zechariah 13, 1. In that day, now remember, chapter 12, it's got in that day. Chapter 14 has, well, in chapter 14, it does say in that day, but it leads off, the day of the Lord cometh. It's here. It's right here. Chapter 13, in that day. So chapter 13 belongs, like, chronologically there with chapter 12, 13 and 14. They all go together. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now the fountain there, when you look in the Hebrew, means something dug, a source. So it's a source of, like, water. Now, opened is a very interesting word here. Very interesting. And next week, I'm going to be tying the word opened here, the fountain opened. It means to open wide and deep. So here, wide, and it's like plowing. It's like you're plowing the ground up. And you know how to plow tears down into the ground? And to carve. And to carve. So this is going to be tying in with another scripture in chapter 3 of Zechariah. And you're going to see how this all ties together. So again, that fountain is something that's dug, and it's the source. And it's the word open means to open wide, to plow, to carve. Now the subject is for sin and uncleanness. So the fountain is, there's something about the fountain that takes care of sin and uncleanness. So that fountain's object is for sin and uncleanness. So let's get the lead in to Zechariah 13:1. We'll start at Zechariah chapter 12. And it shall come to pass, now notice, in that day, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, just to bring your memory online with this here, Zechariah 12 is about two attacks on Jerusalem. The first one is for the nations round about, and the second one is for all nations. So Zechariah 12 is now going into the second attack on Jerusalem. Notice to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And we're going to see a mourning. Now, the mourning is one of the big themes in Zechariah 12 through 14. And then it says here, and I, well, that's the Lord. That's the Lord in verse 9, and now 9 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. All right. So God is, there's something that's going to happen here connected within that day. And God is going to pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Now that is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Within the spirit of grace includes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and supplications. It's a special anointing that's coming on the people to mourn and feel great sorrow. It talks about here bitterness. That's what that supplication, the spirit of grace and supplications. It's going to allow Israel cleanse itself. It's a deep contrition, and they're going to be mourning over the, they're going to look upon me whom they have pierced. And they should look upon, and they should look upon me whom they have pierced. And they're going to recognize, that's a description of Jesus Christ. They're going to realize that he was their Messiah. And that's, God's going to provide them with the spirit of grace and supplication. He's going to provide them with the ability like to cleanse themselves of all the bondage, maybe hatred for him, bondage and all of that. They'll be able to clear themselves from it. And there's a reason for that. Zechariah 12:11. In that day, there it is, there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rim in the valley of Megiddo. Now, what that is about, was we go back to 2 Chronicles 35:25, and it says here, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. Josiah was the king of Judah, and he was greatly loved. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are written in the lamentations. So the death of Josiah shook Israel. Well, I'll say Israel. It's Judah, but it's Israel. And it brought the great mourning, lamentations there. It brought great mourning and sorrow. He was the king, and he had died. And that's the type of mourning now that's going to come on Israel. And notice it's the king, King Josiah, and the Lord is their king. He's the king of Israel. I don't have to go into, that's fine for this here, that the Jews would have perfectly understood what that meant, verse 11. King Josiah and wailing and crying, the whole, it was probably way beyond Jerusalem, it was probably all, Judea, and wailing. And so it says here, right in that verse, let me read it again. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and all the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentation. Only we got the book of Lamentations. I haven't gone beyond this verse. But I assume that, and I believe Jeremiah was the one who wrote the book of Lamentations. So some of the lamentations that are here, mentioned in Zechariah 12:11, because that's what it's referring to, or in the book of Lamentations. So this was a, I want to emphasize it, this was great sorrow upon the Jews because of their high esteem and love for King Josiah. I'm continuing here with the great mourning. Great mourning with repentance because they realized Jesus was their Messiah and died for their sin. That's what's, we're going to look at all the verses there about the mourning. So this is what they recognize. That's why there's a deep, deep mourning and contrition and all by them. Verse 12, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. Now it says here, and the land shall mourn. Let me go back here, and where it says, and in that day, verse 11, there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning. So great mourning in Jerusalem. Now, when we go forward to verse 12, and the land shall mourn, that's really like a continuation. You know, it's the land, the nation. And it's going into more detail now in verse 12. Every family apart. So the land, the nation is going to mourn, but they're going to do it separately. That's what this verse is saying. The land shall mourn every family apart. So there's no like mass. It's not like they're getting into, well, in our terminology, into church and everybody is mourning at church or some big meeting. It's not like that. This is going to be individual. And the Lord has given them the spirit of supplication so that they can get it all out of them. So every family apart. So every family is separate now. There's nothing they're doing together. The family of the house of David apart and their wives. So it's separate. Everybody is separate there. There's no husband and wife together. The family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart. Now, so the way this breaks down is the land mourns, means the entire nation. But notice the house of David, that's the king's line. That's the king's line. So the king is going to be involved in it. Now, it's sort of like in descending order. So David, all the ruling authority in the land, without exception, are going to be mourning separately. Then it says the house of Nathan apart and their wives. Well, Nathan was a prophet. So it's his line, but it's like all the prophets are going to be mourning separately. So all the leading authorities there, that's David's line, will be repenting. And then Nathan's line, the prophets will be repenting. Then we go to verse 13. The family of the house of Levi apart and their wives, the family of Shimei apart and their wives. Now, Levi is obvious. That's the priestly line. So we're kind of like in a descending order here. It's got the king's line, the prophet's line, and then the priesthood's line. And Shimei, if I'm pronouncing it right, Shimei, there's a Shimei that is the grandson of Levi, and I don't quite know how he fits in there. And there's another Shimei. There were two Shimeis, and I couldn't quite figure out how they fit. So I don't know about Shimei, other than one of them was the grandson of Levi. And their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives. Now we come to verse 14. All the families that remain. See, so you went from the king and authority's family, you went to the prophets and their family, then you went to the priesthood and their family, and then it's everybody else. So The Bible is real clear. All of Israel will be in repentance. That's why it's detailed, those scriptures. All the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. So the whole nation is repenting, and God has given them the spirit of supplications. So they're getting it out, folks. It's all coming out. All, you know, missing Jesus as their Messiah, all that they were taught wrong, they were taught against him, all the lies that they were taught, maybe hatreds that they might have had and all, it's all coming out right here. So at the end of this, they're going to be cleansed. So that leads us to 13, verse 1. Day of the Lord cleansing Israel. Now, when does this happen? Well, Zechariah 13:1. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. So now that they've all repented and they've cried to the Lord, there's a fountain opened. I love that verse. You know, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened at the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for supplication. Now, I might as well make notice here. It says for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, again, there's a separation. The house of David, that's politicians, we'll say, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They're all one. David's house needs this fountain as much as Bartimaeus, the blind beggar on the side of the road. So that's what that verse is saying. It's uniting the house of David and everybody else. So the house of David is not separate for sin and supplication. So let's follow this now, how this works. So the house is open, but let's go. When does it start? We go back to Zechariah, which I read, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And in there it says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now we go to Zechariah 14:3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, just before Jerusalem on the east. So in the day of the Lord, Israel is going to look upon me. In the context, it's God whom they have pierced. They're going to be able to see him whom they have pierced. Zechariah 14:3 says who they're going to be looking at is none other as the God of Israel in the person of Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Savior. And they're going to see him, all of Israel, they're all in Jerusalem, are going to see him stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. I'm thinking at this point here, I may put that, I have a very good picture of the Mount of Olives towering over at the Temple Mount. So on the top of the Mount of Olives, you can be seen, I think, just about anywhere in Israel. So Zechariah 12:10 says Israel is going to see God, me, whom they were pierced. That ties in exactly with Zechariah 14:3, the final battle over Jerusalem, which is coinciding with Zechariah 12:10. They'll see the God of Israel coming to defend Israel, and his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. That's who they're going to see, that the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're looking upon him whom they have pierced. Revelation 1:7 fits in here real nicely now. Behold, he cometh with clouds. That's us. And behold, every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So this is where Israel sees him, and also they which pierced him. Right here, this is the second coming of Jesus Christ coming with us. They're going to see him. All the kindreds of the earth also shall wail, is mourning. So Israel is going to mourn, like privately, as a nation, according to Zechariah 12:10. the Gentiles that are alive, all the kindreds of the earth, it looks like it's going to be a collective thing. But Israel is separate. God's dealing with Israel separate at this time. And what a nice tie-in. Revelation 1:7. And that is coming. I love that. It ties in so beautifully with Zechariah chapter 12 there, leading into 13:1. Now we're going back to sin and uncleanness. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us, and look at this, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What's that fountain that's been provided that for sin and uncleanness? Right here it tells us, Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That goes back to that song that I really like. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. So here we have Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, all dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ, which ties in so beautifully with Revelation, in this particular instance here, chapter 1. Now, blood must be shed for sin. There are many, many scriptures about this, but I just picked a couple out. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that remission means to do away with the penalty for sin. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Christ's blood had to be shed to do away with our sin. Absolutely. There's no other way around it. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, and here it is, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, is no remission of sin. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's go down to Zechariah 13:1. In that day, and it's speaking here for Israel, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So there, Israel is going to come under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. It looks like it's done individually, but as a nation, folks. Of course it's done individually, but it looks like here in the end, here's what it is. God is going to keep Israel distinct. They're his people to go into the tribulation period. So the nation is going to be kept together. And I'm looking at this now. Listen to this, Zechariah 13:11. In that day, there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. You know, we could just leave the house of David out of there for a moment. In that day, there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. So the nation of Israel is going to come under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, and they're going to be reconciled to him, and there's going to be a fountain open that they may be healed, forgiven of sin, remission of sin, and cleansed from it. So it's the penalty for it and being cleansed from it, you know, the power of it, the lust and all. People are going to be cleansed by what? The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the progression. In Zechariah 12:10, they see Jesus whom they've pierced. In Zechariah 14:4, he is the Messiah pierced who stands. He's the one that in 12:10 they see as the Messiah standing on the Mount of Olives as the Holy God of Israel at his second coming. Revelation 1:7. They see who was pierced, and they're mourning at Christ's coming. Zechariah 12:10. Again, outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place. Zechariah 12:10-14. Great mourning and repentance. Revelation 1:5. According to 1:5, we are washed from sin by his blood, who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. And Zechariah 13:1, the fountain is open for cleansing from sin and unrighteousness. So that's how it ties together. And of course, I mean, there are a lot more scriptures, especially about the shed blood of Christ. The ones I think that I added are sufficient. I may add a couple others. As I'm doing this, I'm thinking about it. You know, maybe two more scriptures would fit in there real nice. So let me... Okay. Let's take some time out here and discuss this to see if there's any questions. So hold on, let me get over to you, and I'll just go in order. Sister Paula Jean, any questions or comments about what I taught?
No, I think you put it together really, really well, but I did happen to read a little further in one of these, in Zechariah, I don't know whether it was in 11 or 12, but it also talked about God having the families, if someone in their family had been a prophet, to, what do you call it?
Well, they were false prophets.
Paula Jean. Don't talk about.
You're running ahead, and I will be covering that fully.
Okay. So anyway, I'll leave that alone then.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing.
You're naughty that. Now. You're naughty. No running ahead.
Okay.
No naughty.
I didn't really intend to, but I guess God just really wanted me to pay attention to that.
Yes.
So I think that, yeah.
Now, okay. If we were in a physical classroom,
uh-huh.
You put your hand out, and I'd hit it with a ruler.
Oh, well, so long as you just hit my hand.
This reminds me of my mother. My mother was left-handed. All the females, all of them in my family were left-handed. And so what happened was she ended up as a kid. She was born here in America, and they went back to Ireland. And the Depression hit, and she couldn't come back to America for several years. So she went to school. She started school in Ireland. And they wouldn't allow you to write with your left hand. So the teacher would be walking through and she'd have this big, big stick on her hand. And if she caught my mother writing with her left hand, she had to put it out and they'd whack her. Really, that's the way it happened. So my mother was a natural lefty, but she ended up writing like that with her right hand.
It's a shame. It was the teacher that needed to be swatted.
Isn't that true? Okay, so you got everything right. I mean, that you got that down pat, and it just fits. Do you like the way it comes together and all?
Yes. Oh, yes. I think you've done a great job.
Good. Good. That's the future for Israel. We just went through the timing, and I don't know what the time is. I don't know if it's a day, a week, you know, half a day, whatever. Because it's gonna come fast. But that's the restoration. That's how Israel is restored to come under Jesus Christ as their Messiah and go into the millennial reign. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Sister Kathy, any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a question. What's the penalty for lagging behind?
Well, lagging behind is would slow everybody down. So I'm going to have to go with the lagger. We'll have to get to that level.
Okay. Well, I'm catching up. I'll be there shortly.
You're lagging behind. Well, I got one running ahead, and the next one's lagging behind. What's going on here?
Everybody behind us will be the teacher's pet because they're going to be right on schedule.
No, I but you grasped all of that, Sister Kathy, right?
Well,
you
know. I was slightly distracted, but I'm sure if I hadn't been, I would have grasped it. Okay. But it was good. What I did hear was good.
Yeah, and then we have Sister Sharon. How did you do with that DP?
Hold on here. Okay.
Yeah, Sister Sharon, hello?
I'm sorry. Sorry, I pushed the mute button after I unmuted me. I pushed it again.
There you go, playing with the buttons. Oh, my.
I know. It's just, I take after you. I've learned my lesson well.
All right.
Okay. I like how you put all that in order in the sequence there. It's very understandable and everything. And it's just something you got to take time. You got to take time and reread it and listen.
Okay. All right.
But I like.
Well, it's a little bit unique where most of the time they teach 13, one by itself. But I said, no, that comes after. In verse 12, you've got all this repentance going on and crying and sorrow and grief. And then 13 starts off with there is a remedy now. There's a remedy for their sin and uncleanness.
Okay, right.
So that's why I've tied it all together.
Right.
You don't see 13 tied in with 12, 13, 1 with 12. So we can see the God sequence in this now, how it works. And also, you can really see the deep repentance that the nation's going into.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, anything else, Sister Sharon?
Nope, I said what I got to say.
Okay. And then we have Sister Rita and Randy. Not Rita, it's Gigi and Randy.
We're right on target. We're following everything.
Good.
So it's good. Very good.
Okay. That's it? That's fine, if that's all. That's fine. Okay.
It's good.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Oh, while I got you there, and Sharon, do you feel maybe it could take a couple more scriptures about the Lord's shed blood for sin and uncleanness?
The more scriptures, the merrier.
Yeah, Randy likes that. I do too.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably add two more to it.
Well, you know.
Whoops, I'm sorry, Sharon. Yes, go ahead, Sharon.
That you're teaching it, you might as well add everything you can.
Well,
you feel necessary.
Well, there's
while
a little.
Teaching it.
Yeah. Well, there's a little bit. I mean, there are quite a few.
Right. Right.
Quite a few. So, but I just thought maybe two more would be good. So, all right. And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain. No, I don't have any questions or comments yet. I'm able to keep up. And the teaching, I think it's going really good.
All right. Good. All right. Now, I'm going to go into the second part, and not too deep, because I didn't finish it too deep. But this is, let me get over so you can see it. All right, there we go. This is God's servant, the branch. Well, it's actually God's servant, the branch and the stone. And it kind of sounds strange. You know, how do you link the stone and the branch up? But you'll see it. All right, now we're still in Zechariah, and we're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 3, chapter 6, and then chapter really 12 through 13, 1 there, those scriptures that we went. It all ties together, and I haven't finished it, but I just want to show you here the servant, the branch, and the stone. So now the context here is the Jews are coming back from Babylon. Joshua, it says it here, is the high priest. And you will also see Joshua in chapter 6, when I get to chapter 6. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. So what's happening is the Jews that are coming back from Babylon, well, I guess it'd be Persia now, they're sitting around and they're probably talking. And for they are men wondered at. So the Jews that are in Jerusalem are looking at these ones that came from Babylon. And apparently they can tell the difference and they're wondered at. They're looking at them. So the prophet Zechariah, of course, the Lord is behind this, uses this a time to put a tremendous teaching out. And he said, for behold, I will send forth my servant, the branch. Notice it's all capitalized, the branch. My servant, the branch, is the Messiah. That is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how branch gets tied in. And then it says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. So there is some sort of stone that the prophet has put before him. And these men, they're all looking at him that are coming back from Persia, that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. And this is something that I'm also going to do, folks. I want to do in fact, Pastor Fred taught about this last Monday. And I had not intended to go into depth about the seven eyes, but I think I am. There's other scriptures that I think would nicely fit in here. So, in fact, I forgot all about that till I just saw the seven eyes here. So obviously this stone is not a stone. There's something supernatural about it, very supernatural, about the seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. So this stone is going to be engraved. Now, this is not, the word there, engraved, is not, what can I say? It's not like shallow. It's not shallow. It's deep. So, and there's a couple things here. Let me get back. This is so rich of scriptures. Let me go back to the beginning of verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. So the prophet Zechariah here has picked up some sort of a stone. I don't know how big it is, how small it is. And he's put it right before Joshua. And all the other, they're coming back from, as I said, from Persia. And they're all looking at it. One, and upon one stone shall be seven eyes. All right. Supernatural now. Behold, I, God, will engrave the graving upon, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts. So God is going to engrave the graving. So it's two words. It's the same word. It's a double here. And I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. So God is emphasizing that he is going to do it. And this is deep, though. And you can't mistake that double. It's the same word in the Hebrew. So I'm going to engrave. I'm going to cut into it. I'm going to cut into it. It's going to be deep. This word here And this is where this gets tied together with Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. If you remember in Zechariah 13, verse 1, it says, there'll be a fountain open, a fountain open. That word open is the same word here in verse 9 for engraved. So the opening is big, folks, in Zechariah chapter 13, 9. That word here, engraved, is deep. This is deep. It's not a little scratch on the surface. This is deep. God's doing it. And as a result of the engraving on the stone, which is my servant, the branch, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, for behold the stone. There's the connection. My servant, the branch, the stone, it's supernatural stone with the all-seeing eyes there, the seventh complete, that's fullness. All, nothing gets by the eyes like that. That's God's perfect. God is going to engrave this stone, which he says is my servant, the branch. And look how it ends. And I, the Lord, will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Removing the iniquity of the land in one day is exactly the same as there'll be a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. There's a direct tie between Zechariah 3, 8 and 9 and the Messiah being pierced in Zechariah 12, 10. And then in 13, 1, there's a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. What I've just told you now, I have to gel it together. If you notice, I'm showing you the scriptures and then telling you how it links. That I haven't fully done yet. I don't know, and I hope that you could grasp at least some of it, the tremendous connection here between Zechariah 3, 8 and 9, and Zechariah 12, 10 and 13, 1. Instead of, they shall look upon me whom they pierced, in Zechariah 3, 9, it says, and I will engrave the engraving thereof. That's the same thing, saith the Lord of hosts. And I love the way that verse ends. And I will remove the iniquity of that land one day. That's when he was pierced on the cross, and God opens up. A fountain's open for sin and uncleanness. Now, I'm going to stop here. I want to go on a little more. Let me just check this. Yeah, I want to go on a little more because we can go over that next week also. So let me go back. And Paula Jean, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Did you stay with me or were you running ahead again?
No, I stayed with you.
Okay. All right. How I put that all together with Zechariah 3, 8, and 9 and then with Zechariah 13, 1. Was that clear to you?
It all works together.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, because as I'm reading these things, when we have the engraving and the removing the iniquity of that land in one day, I'm thinking about when we're calling for that great outpouring, that there just might be something very parallel for our current state, that if we could draw from this,
yeah,
we would have a good
state. Yeah, there'd be an opening. The fountain would be opening for sin and uncleanness, like for the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just seeing the vision, the big vision.
Okay. All right. Hey, where there is no vision, the people perish. Think big. Remember,
yeah,
the Lord told me to think for us to think big, big vision. All right.
Exactly.
Okay, Sister Kathy.
It was perfect. I just believe that was just perfect.
And what I did show you is what I laid on the Jews.
Ooh.
You see, if you are honest and love truth, there's your Messiah right there. But there's more.
Exactly.
There's a lot more I'll be bringing in. But isn't that nice?
That is nice. That is just a very special package.
That's why I call my ministry the Branch of David.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm feeling good. You're everybody's psyching me up here.
Pumping you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pumping you up.
Okay. All right, Sister Sharon.
Yes. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was very understandable and put in order, just like you've been putting everything in order. I like it.
You see, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to come back to this, but I want to show, I want to prove that the branch is the Messiah.
Okay.
So I'm going to put the scriptures together to show who the branch is. And then I'm going to come back here. So you'll see my servant, the branch. Well, you'll know that's the Messiah and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Within the scriptures, within the Old Testament, it's the Messiah who can only be the Lord. Who was the Lord engraved with an engraving? And as a result of that, God's going to remove the iniquity of the land on one day. So who fits that?
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes. I think it's really, I don't know how to express this exactly, but it's kind of, and I don't mean this in an unclean way. It's thrilling.
Oh.
It's thrilling to, yeah, just a second, Randy. I think it's thrilling to understand the implications of that he did it in one day.
Yes.
And that it's the branch, by the way, in our Bible, that's capitalized. And also just, you know, about this fountain and how it's all interconnected.
Yes.
Right? Not just.
Yes.
All caps.
Yeah.
All caps.
Well, okay. You want to make a comment?
John?
Yes, Randy.
Doesn't the text show branch in all caps?
Yes. Emphasis. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like where we would have Jehovah in English. In the Old Testament, there it's all caps. You know, L O R D is. So when you look at it in the King James, you know that is the word Jehovah behind it, or Yahweh. In English, it's Jehovah.
Right.
And so this is an exclusive. You don't see really scriptures other than the Lord. You don't see scriptures all caps like this one.
No, you don't. I really, this is a very, very good teaching.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to explain this exactly, but because of the understanding and how it's connected, it's something that I know I'm never going to forget that.
Oh, good. Well, you can thank Uri Yosef for this and Moshe Alter for it and the other who's Rabbi David and the others that I tangled with, because they forced me to, nothing could be out of line with them. Everything had to be perfect. Otherwise they jump all over you. So they trained my mind and I presented this to them and it's hard to deny it, isn't it? But they did.
Well, the thing that's really sad about that is, you know, they're Jews, right? And they're looking at everything that's going on in Israel all this time, right, back in the scriptures. And wouldn't they want the sin to be dealt with in a day?
Yes. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day.
Yeah. I mean, they would have to, you know, not only be blind, but that they wouldn't want that.
Well,
unbelievable.
They have no conviction of it, you know? And what I found is, this is very important. When my thinking, when I went into the debates with them, and it wasn't always debates like you think. Sometimes it was. It could be like discussions, you know, and me and the rabbi were going at it scripturally, and there was all sorts of people listening. And so it wasn't necessarily a formal debate. It was, you know, like you think of standing behind podiums and all that. Sometimes we did have formal debates. But I'm in there looking for truth and proving truth of the scriptures. That's not their goal. Their goal is Judaism, protect Judaism. And I found that out when I debated Rabbi Tovia Singer, because he told me that. He told me. He said, my job is that coming here to debate you is to defend Judaism. So he would say anything, because he didn't say my job as a rabbi is to come here and prove the truth in the scriptures that you're wrong. He didn't say that at all. He said, my job is to defend Judaism. Wow. He didn't say anything about the scriptures, seriously. So they have no problems saying, if I look at a scripture, and I'll tell you the perfect example of that was Exodus 33, and I don't know the verse. It's where Moses wanted to see God's glory, and the Lord said, you can't, no man can look into my face and live. And then he told Moses that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand in front of your face, and when I pass by, you can't see my, I think he called it his goodness, his glory, but you can see my hinder part. So the Jews will tell you that they believe literally in the Torah, that every word in the Torah was literal and it was handed down from God directly to Moses and all, which I believe also. They take every word literal except what I just told you about God's glory. They will not accept that God has a face, that God has a hand, that God has feet. He has a form of a man. I would tell them, I said, look, that's we are made in God's image and likeness. Yes, God has a form. So they view him, they want to view him more as a force. Like some. Yeah. So I said, and I would tell them, yeah, God had no problem coming in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because we are made in his image and likeness. But they will not, under no circumstance, none of them would accept Ezekiel 33, where Moses wanted to see, well, God's face. God said, you can't. They were face to face, but God had some murkiness between them. There was, Moses was shielded from, like God's glory. Although he did absorb some of it when he came down from the mountain there, they wanted to put a towel over his head or whatever because he was shining from God's glory. So yeah. isn't that interesting, Gigi?
It is, because, you know, you think, okay, well, they're, in a sense, their religion's more important than their God.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes.
John?
Yes, Randy.
Do I understand that the rabbis all believed that there was a Messiah, but they all believed that Messiah was not Jesus, except for what you showed them at the end of Ezekiel? Is that correct?
They believe the Messiah is political. He's a savior, but it's just like in the first century with the Romans, they were looking for a political Messiah that was going to save them from the Romans. So it's the same today. They're looking for the Messiah that's going to come and save them. He'll become the head of Israel, and Israel will be the greatest of all the nations. They're looking for a political, exactly like they were.
So when they see the branch, they can believe that that's a Messiah, but they believe it's not Jesus. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would pin them down and they would say, well, we don't know. We'll just say, well, we don't know who the branch is, but he's definitely not Jesus Christ. They don't say Jesus Christ. They'll say Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, that's what I had understood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I would never know that until really Tobias Singer, when I debated him, he told me it flat out to my face. I'm here. He said that, look, I admit, and he's talking to me in general. He said, you guys there are making inroads into Judaism. He said, I admit it. That's my ministry is to stop you. My ministry is to stop wow. you. He said, and I'm here to defend Judaism. So he said to me, yeah. Why don't you go? He said, there's a lot of Muslims and Buddhists. He said, why don't you go after them? And I said, well, the Bible says to the Jew first and also the Greek. And he just shook his head. He shook his head back and forth.
That's so sad.
So that's Tobias Singer. All right.
Yeah, thank you for making that comment, because now I understand why this Antichrist figure is going to be, they're going to want him.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that before.
Yeah, I told them, some of this stuff I remember vividly. I spent so much time with them. I went to like a yeshiva with them. I learned Judaism from them. But I told the top anti-missionary, he was a physicist from Israel. And I told him, I said, what you're looking for is a Napoleon. I said, you're not looking. Yeah. Yeah. I told him, you're looking for a Napoleon. And his name was Yuri. And I said, Yuri, because you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Messiah and the need to be saved from sin, you're going to be the first one online to be deceived by the Antichrist. You'll be the very first one. You'll fall for the whole thing. Of course, he didn't like that. And I remember it got like sort of like the Roman Colosseum, because there would be a lot of people there, like a lot of Jews. And they would say, yeah. Throw them out, ban them, throw them out, meaning me. You know, you could hear them yelling, throw them out. And when it got to the point, I told you, of Ezekiel 43:7, that was it. That's what finished me there. And they would come into our rooms we had, because a lot of Jews would come in. We had challenging, like, names for our rooms. Is Jesus Israel's Messiah? So the anti-missionaries and the rabbis would come in to defend the flock against us. They were forced in. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
So you're getting a little behind the scenes what was going on back in the day. All right. We have Rita here. Rita, any questions or comments?
No, I do not have any. Chaplain.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we have Michael's here. Hello, Michael. All right. And then Joy. I think Joy just came in. Hello, Joy.
Hello. I just came in to say hello.
Good. Well, thank you for coming in. I'm going over tomorrow's teaching here.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for coming in. All right, I just want to cover a little more, and then we'll get into our homework. I'm not going to – let me pass by this. But I want to get into the teaching of the branch of David. And this is going to be thorough. I mean, when I say thorough, there's like it's about 8 verses about in the Old Testament there about the branch of David. So I want to deal with all them to show that the branch is the Messiah. He's God's servant. He's the king, King Messiah. So the branch of David touches all of, it doesn't say he's a prophet, but it touches basically he's a king. He's a servant. He's going to die for our sins. He's building the temple of the Lord. So I want everybody to see it. It's like an in-depth teaching on the branch of David. Now, here's the foundation for it. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, here it is, shall grow out of his roots. So the word branch there is not basically like you think of a branch in a tree, but it's a branch of roots, or it's a branch that's coming from the roots. And I guess it, you could look like it comes up above the ground, I guess. But it's coming from Jesse. And, of course, you've got Jesse and then David, and then the branch shall grow out of his roots. So, and this is just the start, but I will cover all the scriptures about it. So when we get back to Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, you will see that without a doubt, the branch is the King of Israel. He is the Messiah and other things. So that's who the Lord says is going to be carved. And by him being carved, that rock that is the branch, the servant, the branch, the carving of that rock takes away iniquity in one day. All right, now, so there's two really nice scriptures in Revelation, Revelation about the branch. So we go to Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. There it is, the branch, and 11:1, and then Revelation 5:5, the Root of David is the same. They're the same. So it shows you that Isaiah 11:1:1, of course, we know looking back, but it is about the Lord. That's him. That's his calling. There's sort of a main foundation in scriptures right there. Isaiah 11:1 hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am, here it is, the Root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's the branch of David in Revelation 22:16. He is the Root of David in Revelation 5:5. And he is the branch coming out of Jesse, which would be David, in Isaiah 11:1. Isaiah 11:1. And that really finishes it now. Other than when I talk about that stone, I'm also going to tie in with that stone. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about things happening in the Old Testament for our admonition. And it talks about Moses striking the stone twice there. And you remember Moses in Numbers. Was it in Numbers? Right now it just skips my mind. But he struck the rock twice. And the Lord was angry at him for doing that, very angry. And he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because that rock represented Jesus Christ. And he was supposed to be struck once, just like in Zechariah 3:9. And that struck once was the cross. And the Lord told Moses to strike the rock once, and he got angry at the Jews, and he struck it twice. That rock represented Jesus Christ, who was only to be struck once, the cross. So that ties in directly with Zechariah 3:9. And then when you go to Daniel chapter 2, and it talks about the great Gentile nations at the end of the world. And that was a picture of Nebuchadnezzar and the him being the head of gold, and then the Persians with the chest of silver, the Greeks, Alexander the Greek was the bronze, and then the feet were iron, and that was the Roman Empire. Well, that's going to be destroyed by a rock made without hands. So that rock is Jesus Christ, who's going to destroy, but without hands means there's no human element. This is him by himself. He doesn't need a human element. And he's going to come and destroy the Gentile empires, and then that rock is going to grow into a big mountain and take over the earth. So I want to add those important teachings about the rock to the rock in Zechariah 3:9. That's the rock will be a complete teaching. The branch of David will be a complete teaching. I want to go into the seven eyes of that rock, which will be a complete teaching. So that's what's yet to come. All right. So we got to see about the branch is two witnesses in Revelation 5:5 and Revelation 22:16. Now, I want to tell you a little funny story that ties in with Revelation 5:5. Back in the day, and maybe the old timers remember this, but there used to be a group of like Nazis, and they all had the head shape, and they were known as skinheads. Now, they for some reason they disappeared, but I remember they used to be in the. They would like attack synagogues and beat up rabbis. Sister Kathy, do you remember that by any chance?
I do remember hearing about skinheads.
All right. Sister Sharon, do you remember hearing about skinheads?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Paula Jean, do you remember about skinheads? Poor Paula Jean. Paula Jean.
She should.
Wow. Now, Sister Gigi, do you remember, and Randy, do you remember skinheads?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Sister Rita, do you remember skinheads?
Yes, I do.
All right. So they were common back in the day, and I'm going to say like in the 70s. They were biker types. And they were really like, I don't know how to, they would wear all the leather, and they were, everything about them was ugly. Even the women that would be on the back of the bikes, I remember, they were all like, no teeth and all that. So is that a, Sister Sharon, is that like a fair description?
Well, I don't know anything about them not having teeth or anything.
Well, I'm just using that. As an example,
right,
they weren't the prettiest ladies in the world.
Right. Well, they, I know that there was a lot of white in their clothing.
That I don't remember. The reason I'm telling you all this, because I found one verse in the Bible that was a skinhead killer, spiritually.
Okay.
And I would tangle with them, or they would tangle with me. So they hated the word Jew. A Jew, to be called a Jew, was a dirty, terrible thing to them. They looked like bikers with shaved heads, and they would beat up rabbis and all. But that, again, whatever happened, they stopped. But anyways, when I tangled with them, I would take them to Revelation 5:5, and this was the spiritual bullet to end it all. I'd say, really, so the Jews are separate from Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ, he's a Gentile. That's what they would say. Yeah, he's a non-Jew. Wow. So I'd say, well, let's listen to Revelation 5:5. This is about the Lord in heaven. and he's being addressed now in heaven. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God has a sense of humor to put that verse in there like that. The root of David has prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. So I said, in heaven, Jesus Christ is recognized as a Jew. What do you say to that? Well, I'm going to have to look at the scriptures and get back to you. Oh, man. That was like a silver bullet with a, what was it, a vampire or something? I mean, that was.
Yeah.
So they were easy to run off with that verse, Revelation 5:5. That was that the Lord is a Jew. What do you say about that?
That's something else.
Okay. All right. Gigi and Randy, any comment on Revelation 5:5 and spiritual skinheads? Well,
nothing new to say.
Okay.
Yeah, there was just a lot of foul talk about them, I remember.
Yeah, and then they disappeared.
Yep.
Sister Kathy, any comments about the Revelation 5:5?
Well, not about the skinheads, but I just think I asked you this before, but I know when Moses struck the rock twice that God was furious. I mean, he just didn't get mad easy. But do you think the 1,000 years is because that Moses did that? Did we have to go through that because of Moses striking Christ twice?
And what sense is 1,000 years?
Well, it's not over with Jesus coming back.
Oh,
he has
no,
to do another thing.
No, Sister Kathy. No, the well, we call it the millennial reign. It's the kingdom age. That's promised to Israel. He's coming to fulfill his promise to Israel. There's all sorts of teaching amongst the prophets about kingdom reign.
Okay.
Yeah, the kingdom reign. So, yes, there will be the 1,000-year reign. Like like when I teach in Ezekiel, with the his house there, the temple. That's literal. That's not the New Jerusalem. That's for the kingdom age for the Jews.
So when Satan is bound 1,000 years and then loosed again,
yes,
that's not trouble.
Yeah, the reason that the Lord's doing it is that it's a test to see that a lot of them are going to be seething during the millennial reign because they want to sin, and they can't. They can't sin because if they sin, there's immediate judgment on them. So at the end, Satan is loosed to see who was not following the Lord and wanted to sin. And he's going, whoever is like, we'll say unsaved, yes, they're going to fall for him and make the one last try to overthrow the Lord, which of course they can't. And then we have the great white throne judgment and then eternity. All right.
I'm ready.
So let's, Joy, you can take part of this. I'm going to play a song tomorrow during the teaching, and it's called There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. So right now I'm going over to YouTube, and I'm going to look. I was going to do it this afternoon, but I just never got to it. And we're going to look at what song to play tomorrow.
Okay, so, at church?
Yeah, I'll play it during the teaching, because I know the place to play it. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of them. Oh, now. I'm sorry, Sister Kathy.
I listen to it, and it's very, very slow, and she only sings one verse.
Oh, you know who it was then, huh?
Yep, there she is, big old Vestal. I would have loved for her to have sung it really pretty, and she sang it pretty, but it's just so slow.
All right. Oh, this gate there, David Felt. There is a fountain.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear him, so his might be better.
Sheila. All right, let's give Sheila a try. Here we go.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from
Kathy, that's kind of tough to beat. So
it is awesome, isn't it? It is just so beautiful. But see how David Phelps sounds. And I want you to hear Vestal, but I just wanted to give you the forewarning.
You know, when I was a kid and worked on the farm in the Indiana heat and it was dirty from head to toe, there was nothing like coming in the evening and taking a hot bath. It just longs to be clean. This next hymn draws a beautiful picture of the fountain that washes us clean on the inside.
Drawn from
is flowing, womb supply. Oh, redeeming love has been my theme.
That's a kind of tough one to beat, Sister Kathy.
So you like that one?
Well, there's a little bit more to it than, I mean, either one is fine. But the one there with Phelps, it's got a, what's that?
What is the time difference in them?
About the same. Both about 4 minutes. That is good to put up on the screen so they can see. It's like, you know, action, and they can see them singing.
You don't want to try the one with Vestal?
Well, you turned me away from her. You said she only sings a little bit.
He just sang one stanza.
Yeah, but I would want to hear.
Hers is as slow as his, or his is as slow as hers.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you. 4 minutes, also okay. the roll about 4 minutes. Well, you shouldn't have got me over to that one, Sister Kat.
You like it better, don't you?
I mean, everything was better.
Yeah, I think so, too.
The only thing, it was so hard to look at all those old-timers that aren't with us anymore.
Yes.
You know?
So many gone.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, I think, let's just see. One of the reasons I want it is for the background, so people can see it. It's not just the song, but they can see the people singing. I think the eye candy is important there.
And I think understanding the words was a little easier, too.
All right. So, Paula Jean, you like Vestal singing there, the last one?
No, the one that you had in the middle.
Okay. All right. And Sister Kathy?
I vote for Vestal.
All right. Sister Sharon?
Okay. I don't know the names of them, but the one that was played last.
All right.
Oh, that looks like it's women.
Gigi and Randy? I muted you.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
We like the first one, the best, Sailor.
Okay. And then Sister Rita.
I'm with Gigi and Randy. I like Sailor.
Okay. So it's two.
And no, Paula, I would have voted for Sailor, but you said you wanted a live shot.
Yeah, I do. I didn't think of that till we started to play it. And they're all so good, it doesn't really make a difference other than for promoting it during the teaching. I would like it a live, you know, live video of the people singing. Okay. So.
And the only problem I had was that the last one came through a little bit too muted on my phone. And so if I hadn't known the song, I wouldn't have known really what they were singing.
What are we going to do with you and your phone?
I don't know.
Get her a new one.
Well, actually, no. This doesn't happen too often. So just ignore my vote. That suffices.
Okay. No, seriously, it doesn't really matter, except I do want to put one on the screen there so the people can see it. I think it just adds a lot because I'm it's not like here. I'm out in the church, open in the church. So I think it would go better. Okay.
What, play all three of them?
Well, no. Chap, which one do you like better between Vestal and David?
Vestal, definitely.
That's a unanimous.
Yeah. All right. So tomorrow morning we have prayer. And then I do the regular routine on Wednesday. I will be going to the Word of Life Church and be teaching. But you saw most. I'm going to be adding some just to make sure I don't fall short time-wise on it. But I like it, and you've seen the big picture. I'm going to develop the stone so you see that in Zechariah chapter 3, it's just not out of anywhere. That's not always, but it is a type of Christ in his ruling as king. And then we will get into the engraving and the seven eyes of all knowing and all seeing. So it'll be a nice full teaching. I'll definitely go into the second week on it, though. All right. Paula Jean, anything in closing?
I do want to say I just so wish I could revisit the daily, you know, meetings we have in visual. And I miss that from Rumble very much.
Well, here's what happens. I have a little technical problem here. In fact, I got a note to call Nate tomorrow. I'm running into disk space, it's called, and it won't let me copy like I want to copy. So I did get It's a long story, but I do have the remedy to take care of it. But Nate is going to have to do it. And once I do that, I'll be able to save everything to my archives here. So you'll be able to easily get it. So that's one thing I've got to do.
So they're not being lost.
Well,
they're being.
They.
I mean,
once we start recording it, yeah, I'll have it there. So some I'll keep long term, and some I'll just keep like a week. So the prayer ones, I'll probably just keep a week, like the morning prayer. I'll keep them maybe like a week, 2 weeks.
I'd be glad to send you a 1, 2, or 3 terabyte memory box.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I've got.
It's basically big memory that you just
plug
in.
No. I got plenty of memory. It's not. I got plenty of memory. Plenty of memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is. I've got a hard drive here that it's not a new hard drive that's not being. It's just not. There's something wrong. It functions okay, but it's not. It's not allowing the computer to use it. I guess is the best way to the full. All right.
Yeah.
So
one question.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay.
I value what we're learning. But I also value.
Yeah, you are breaking up. You are breaking up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fluttering. Yeah.
Well, I'll be still.
Sister Kathy?
Yeah. You didn't get your new computer program, John, at home yet, is he?
Right,
so
he's not home yet.
To take your new one this week.
Okay. No. John isn't. He's not home yet. Yeah.
That was so sweet.
Yeah, that was amazing. Sister Sharon.
Yes, Captain John. I'm very excited for tomorrow night, and I will be there.
Well, I'm going to be waving to you and Mary Robinson.
Okay.
So, both of you will get waved to. All right?
Okay, sounds good.
You're not jealous that I have another person I'm waving to, are you?
Me? No, absolutely not. You are more than welcome to. You can even wave it. You can wave at Kathy, even. I like that. And Paula Jean.
Maybe Paula Jean. I can start waving to you.
Yeah. Kathy and Paula Jean, too.
That's funny.
Wave to me in the spirit.
In the spirit, okay. Is Gigi there or just Randy?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So... anything in closing?
I just wanted to pray for tomorrow night.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, just short. That's a short prayer. So, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we are able to discuss this. John is so generous with us, so we can ask questions, and it's so helpful. So we want to see you glorified. We want to see your word glorified, and we're asking you to continue to put the anointing on John to teach the word in the truth, and so that people will understand it and remember it. So we just pray a blessing on him and a blessing on the congregation tomorrow night, and we thank you in advance for all that you do and all you're going to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And then Rita.
Chaplain, I just would like to thank my Lord God for this prayer group. It has blessed me tremendously.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. I mean, that's what we're here for, to help each other grow in the Lord, right?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. I just was nice, Lord, listening to those three. The song fits perfectly with the teaching, Lord. And it was just nice listening to the three voices there, the way it was set up, Lord. That song, it's deep, Lord. That is a deep, deep songs, but, you know, some of them kind of are, I don't want to say shallow. They're not shallow, but they're, this one here really gets into your soul, this song. So we thank you for it. And we thank you for that verse. A fountain opened. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Wow, wait. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and thank you now. May everybody have a good night's sleep. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim,
send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.